Chazal placed a great deal of emphasis on the brachos associated with the Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, we find halachically that one may not read Betziva without brachos. What's the function of the brachos? That the function of the brachos is not in and of itself Birchus HaMitzvahs. In fact, it's rarely Birchus HaMitzvahs. Because if we look at the way the world runs today, it didn't always necessarily run that way, but the way it runs today is everyone makes Birchus HaTorah in the morning, long before they get to the Kriyas HaTorah. So certainly, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Birchus HaTorah when they recite the brachos of the Torah. Those brachos, assuming that they already recited Birchus HaTorah, are midrabbanan. And what's their function? The function is to give comfort to the Torah.
The Birchus HaTorah of the rice would only be on the actual reading?
Only if you Birchus HaTorah the rice is if you didn't yet make Birchus HaTorah yet. Then you can have Birchus HaTorah the rice. Once you made Birchus HaTorah already, then it's midrabbanan.
But the first time you make it in the morning is the rice.
Yeah, that's what's assumed. Here we have afilu beirach Birchus HaTorah la'atzmo. If you just finished Birchus HaTorah, the takef karuah likris b'torah, and the gavur calls him up, bam, calls him up for an aliyah, it's sort of lach swel avorach. He has to make the Birchus HaTorah again asher baruch habonu, kishukar b'torah. Mishum kovod HaTorah niskano kishukar b'tzibo. So you know, kovod HaTorah. That it's significant enough that we make a bracha before we read. So the brachas have to do with the union of kavanah. And now we see also in Chazal that Birchus HaTorah in general is not only a Birchus HaMitzvahs, but it reflects the kavanah. The Gemara says in the Dorm concerning the for the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, that Shaul ben Aviyam, they asked the Aviyam, the Chacham, and no one knew why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So they looked mighty frum in those days. Until the Novi and Yirmiyah writes, Vayim Rashem al Ozbom Estarosim. So the question is a very obvious question. If also, Mr. Rossi is to be taken in a very literal sense. So then why didn't the Nevi'im realize what the problem was? Why didn't the Chacham realize what the problem was? What do we need? Only the Rabbeinu Shalom himself had to reveal also Mr. Rossi. So Chazal answered to that Al Shalom Baruch Hu B'Torah Tchila.
Rabbi Julia,
right? Oh, we'll come to that in a moment. If you want to know the answer to that, I'll tell you. Because they didn't recite the Birchus HaTorah. They learned Torah, but they didn't recite the Birchus HaTorah. So, Ida Gemara says in Yuma, in Daf Tes, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they violated Avodah the Zorah, Ili Arayas, and Shvichas Dom. So, what's the Pshat in the Gemara in the Dor? So the world says pshat that if they had been involved in Torah in a proper sense, that would have prevented them from violating Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Dom. It's only because they were not properly involved in Torah that they fell into very significant dilemmas. So the question is, what is the role of the Birchus HaTorah? It's the role of the Birchus HaTorah, and a very simple explanation. There are deeper explanations too, but the simple explanation is a lot of truth to it. And the simplest explanation is that ultimately, how do we look at Torah? Is it an academic exercise? Or is it the Dvar Hashem? Bracha is recited, if it's a Dvarasha, for an academic exercise, you don't need a Bracha. Mathematics is also the Chochmah that the Rebbeinu should put into the Bria, but I don't recite Birchas HaTorah before I study mathematics. So, apparently something was lacking in the Kavod of the Torah. So, a Bracha on Kavod HaTorah is very, very significant. With augmented Kavod HaTorah, they could have undone all the Chaton, which brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. There's yet a deeper explanation of the Gemara in the Dorm, and that is, I mean, if they were learning merely as an academic exercise, so the Chacham and the Nevi'im would have realized that too, that they lack the requisite Yerushalayim. So it's interesting that some Sefer writes this, and Rabbi Saul Salant. Salant, both write the same shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Menachos, Shigas HaBavli, in Menachos, that if a mitzvah has many steps, we only make a brocha on the Gemara HaMitzvah. So that's why, according to Shigas HaBavli, there's no brocha that one recites in building a sukkah. It's true. Generally speaking, we have to build a sukkah if we want to be Yetzir Mitzvah Sukkah. You know, we can't just say, well, listen, the mon fell from heaven, so together with the mon, you know, we'll be zeichah to a sukkah too. I'll come out there with sukkahs. That's it, you know. I'll bring the chalas out, and that's it. The sukkah will have somehow magically gone from the garage, the schach is up, the lights are functioning, the tables and chairs are there, that's it. We just have to put the chalas down on the table, and that's it, and let's go. So geitnish, does it. You know, we have to do a lot of work to get to that point that we're ready to bring in the chalas. But we don't rule somebody, according to Rishon, we recite a bracha on the asiyas sukkah. So the Bavli in Menachos says that we don't recite a bracha because we only recite a bracha on the Gemara Mitzvah, on the final stage. On all the other stages, even if they're necessary stages, but they're not the final stage, they're not the punchline.
So why then, do we recite when we put up the schach? It's the Gemara Mitzvah.
No, the Gemara Mitzvah is when you eat, and everything else is still hachamas.
Ah.
You know. You can bake the cake all you want. If you don't sit down and eat it, it's a garnished. I always come off from the hour, but a waste of effort. So Rabbi Yisrael and the Chassam Sofer both say that that was a deficiency of the Dur of the first Chorban. They learned Torah, and they realized Torah to Hashem. But how did they look at the Torah? There is a manual of how to do the mitzvahs. The Iker is to do the Tayag mitzvahs. How are we going to know how to do the Tayag mitzvahs? Well, you read the manual if you want to know how to do it. So you have to learn the manual. But what's the punchline? The learning or the mitzvah? It's the mitzvah. This is just the manual. You know, you have a computer. So you have a manual that tells you how a computer works. But tachlis is the computer, not the manual. So Mamela, from that standpoint, that's why they didn't recite Birchas HaTorah. Torah, not the end. Torah is just the means to the end. The end is the Tayag Mitzvahs. How will we do the Tayag Mitzvahs? So read the manual. So that's it. It's just the manual. It's not the end. It's a preparatory stage for the end.
Isn't it still a level?
So they said that's it. It's a preparation for the end. That's its role. What they failed to understand, that's what the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Saw both tell us, is the notion of Torah Lishma. Torah for the sake of learning Torah, not even for the sake of doing the mitzvahs. But Torah, abstractly, just to learn Torah. And from that standpoint, we can learn the Mishnayos and Tyrus, and it's as significant as learning the Mishnayos and Hilchos Shabbos. Because what are we out to do? To connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Menachos, in Daf Mem Gimel, that Dovid HaMelech went to the Merchatz, to the Beth House, and he felt despondent because it was bereft of mitzvahs. until Niskar Vimilosa Vimila. He remembered that he was Gemalt. That's the Gemal. So that comforted him. So the Shaila is, why was he comforted? Vila is a one-time mitzvah. You do it once in your life and that's it. You can't, whether you realize you're Gemalt, you don't realize it. You don't get an extra mitzvah. It's not like each time I think about the Vila, I get a new mitzvah. It's not one of the mitzvahs to me, this. So you get one shot, you know, your father took you, got you Gemalt, and that's it, you Gemalt, and that's it. That's the mitzvah. There's nothing more to talk about. So what if his problem was that he didn't have any mitzvahs? Well, the Mila wasn't a mitzvah either. You know, it's a mitzvah that he did some other time. He did plenty of other mitzvahs other times when he wasn't in the Merchatz. Whatever those mitzvahs were. And right now, he did none of those mitzvahs. Not the Mila, not anything else. So what comforted him? So I think the pshat in the Gemara is that what David HaMelech was thinking of was, what's his connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom? Says, you know, what my connection is? My connection is the Mila. I'm always connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom because I have the Ispers. And that's the standpoint. David HaMelech was not looking at all the mitzvahs from the standpoint of Maisach HaMitzvahs, I'm doing a mitzvah. But through the mitzvahs, through Torah, I'm connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what David HaMelech was concerned with. So Talmud Torah is the connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the cover of the Torah, of the significance of the Torah, its significance, it's Dvar Hashem, it's our connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's the manual of the Torah, which is also true. It's Chosha for that reason. All of those things, we give praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's the Brochel cover HaTorah. Now, initially, the brachas were a very simplified matter. The kohen made the broad the first bracha, shaboch avonu, and the guy that got the last aliyah said hashanos avonu, and that's it. And all the guys in the middle, the five guys that marched up in the middle, didn't recite the bracha, any brachas at all. They just went up.
Oh, they read the Torah themselves.
Yeah, they read the Torah themselves, and they do. The mitzvah, they were in the middle of the mitzvah, so they're just continuing what was started by others, and that's it. The first guy made the bracha, the last guy made the bracha, and everyone else was included. And those, the brachas on Kovar HaTorah. So this laning, do a brachas on, a bracha at the beginning, a bracha at the end.
Mm-hmm. So nobody could not talk in between.
Oh, it seems so, you know.
It seems so.
Yes. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting insight. The Aruch HaShulchan says, oh, so the question is, so why did they change from a system the Kohen made one bracha, the first bracha, and the last Ola made the final bracha? Why did they change to the system that we have, that each person makes a bracha? So Chazal answered, those that, you know, come in and leave at strange times, they won't necessarily realize there are brachas. Not at the beginning and not at the end, so they'll say. So therefore, because they won't, they'll fail to realize that you have to make a bracha. They'll say, listen, I wasn't shul. Nobody made a bracha. You came late and left early. You know, every person looks at the world from the depth of from the midst of their own experiences. So for that reason, Chazal instituted that on every aliyah there should be a bracha. So whenever you arrive in the Beis HaKnesses, you're going to hear, whenever you leave, but you're going to hear a guy, every guy, if you get to the end of this guy, you'll hear him make a brocha at the end. And he made a brocha at the beginning. So you know that you need brochas on the Torah. That's what he instituted. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes a very fascinating thing. You know, there are apparently even some Sephardic communities at Hayyim. I don't know which ones. But they don't have a Bal Kriya, where every person reads for themselves. Yeah, there are such things. I remember many years ago, there was a man that came from Morocco. And he used to, when he, I think he was a Levi, when he got an Aliyah, read it to himself. Okay. So, the Aruch HaShulchan says that this reason of Nichnosen V'yotzen, to make it clear to those that came and went in the middle, that the Rabrochus was only necessary in their system where everyone read for themselves. Because each person, he says, nowadays, if there wouldn't be brochas, so what makes anybody the oila? I marched up to the Sefer Torah. I stood there like a piece of wood. I marched down. So why am I the oila? The Valkyria kept reading.
They made Mishaberach or no Mishaberach?
Whatever, the Mishaberach's a peripheral. They don't have, you know, they make a Mishaberach even if you can get an aliyah. So, what way the Aruch HaShulchan said would it be nicker than Yuri Oyla? You know, march him through, you can march the whole shul through, you know,
right.
Every Shabbos.
Right.
So, how would we know who's the Oyla? What would label someone as the Oyla? So he says, in the system that we use, the Aruch HaShulchan says, there must be brachas. He said, Chazal only had to give their reason of the people that came in the middle for their system where everyone read for himself. So that if you read for yourself, you're an oila. You were oila the Torah. You read. Now you came. You stood there like a pole and you left. And at bottom line, interestingly, the way we Ashkenazim Paskin, that Shas Adchak, you don't even have to read along. Even if you can't read along. I went with someone a number of years ago to Rabbi Yoshev, and he's very severely sight impaired. So he was thinking he doesn't want to take Aliyas anymore because he can't read along in the Torah. So even though it says that the minhag of Ashkenazim is that they give Aliyas even to blind people,
yeah. But
he said, what do I need? I have to make brachas, it's b'di'evit, I'm not interested. So I went with him to Rabbi Yoshev, and Rabbi Yoshev told him that he should take Aliyas. So he was telling Rabbi Yoshev all his reasons that he doesn't want to take Aliyas. I mean, halachic reasons. Rabbi Yoshev said, there are more paskin, that's it, goodbye. There's nothing to talk about, you know. It's lechat chila for Ashkenazim. Then a shazat ha. If you're in that situation, there are more paskin, you're supposed to take an Aliyah, that's all. So, and bottom line, we paskin that we don't even have to read along. So the Rosh Hashanah is right. In what sense is the oila? What makes him the oila? If he didn't make a bracha, so what did he do altogether? He marched up there. He stood next to the. He stood next to the Valkyria, like the Statue of Liberty, and he left. So what's the pshat? He's an oila.
But nowadays, everybody read his own aliyah. In the old days.
The old days, everyone read for himself.
Which is not what we're talking about.
What?
Is that what we're talking about, though? The old days we're talking about?
Yeah. That's the way it was in the
so
time.
He didn't just march up.
No, they're saying, no, I'm going to say nowadays. He says, Chazal did not need their explanation that the bracha was made because of nichnos and v'yotze, those that come in the middle, only in their system where everyone read for himself.
Uh-huh.
He says, in our world, where a Valkyria reads for everybody, he says, if we wouldn't make a bracha, what makes me the oila?
Uh-huh.
A very, very interesting insight. So the brachas have to do with Kavanah Torah. That's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing. There's a lot more Limud HaTorah than there is Kavanah HaTorah. People learn. But if you truly had Kavanah HaTorah, you would have covered for Adam Godel that taught us what the Torah means. You know, if you see manifestations in the world, that people go against in the halachas, against that which the Gedolim teach. So that's a chisor on Kavanah Torah. If you had Kavanah Torah, you would realize that the greater Talmud Chacham, you have to listen to them. But they're not machshav Torah. So what does he have? So this person knows more Torah, so what? Doesn't mean anything. So this is a very, very fundamental yisoid. It's a very fundamental yisoid. Broyus is very much liach with this.
So you have to have, should you have that kind of kavanah when you have your aliyah? Is that what Rav is saying in the sense?
That's part of the kavanah to realize. Broyus is very much liach with this.
Just like you have to have a certain kavanah when you say Kriya Shema, you should have...
The brachas of a kavanah to Broyus is very much liach with this. They have a tremendous chashivas for the Rabbanim. The Rav is institutionalized. That's the nature. That's why the Kehila works. Without that, it couldn't work. It's the Yesaid. Now, how does one make the brachas? How do we make the brachas? So that is a number of different menhagim, what we have to do. Let's just focus on one more thing first about the brachas themselves. We have two brachas. We have a bracha shabocha bono mikol ha'amim, and then we have the bracha shanos amonu teras emes v'chai eilum notav zocheinah. So the minhag is that we recite the bracha shabocha bono before the aliyah, and the bracha b'shanos anlonu after the aliyah. In a way, there are the achrona lahalocha, not all shittas, but lahalocha. If one made a mistake and one said b'shanos anlonu beforehand, and b'shanos anlonu afterwards, one is yoytze.
So one shouldn't correct them.
If he didn't get to the final shem of Baruch Atah Hashem Nois and Atayra, then we correct them. And once he said the final shem, then it's too late, then we don't correct them anymore. So then if he said Hashanos Anonu Torah Chayalom Tavetzchein Baruch Atah Hashem, so we let him finish, and at the end you tell him to make a Shabbach Amonu. And then the people will say that, you know, Auerbach, he went to the crazy shul, the one day make a Shabbach Amonu before the Baruch Atah Hashem, and a Shabbach Amonu afterwards.
In other words, you'd correct him before he had his aliyah. In other words, is that
until
correct?
He got the words. Once he said Baruch Atah Hashem at
right.
The end of the first bracha,
it's fafal.
That's fafal. And then you remain with that and you make a Shabbach Habana at the end.
Oh, a Shabbach Habana at the end.
Yes.
Sorry.
You know, you don't want shul to be boring, you know. Every time the same thing, you need some excitement. Now, why do we make the bracha Shanos Anonu at the end? Reason. So Rosh Hashulchan writes because it says "V'chayi olam not abisocheinu," means "What's chayi olam is olam haba." So with what are we zoich at olam haba? With the Torah. So after we read the Torah, that's the appropriate time to sing the praises of the Rebbeinu Shlomo "V'chayi olam not abisocheinu." So he says it makes sense that we should recite that after. After the Torah, the reading of the Torah. I thought maybe there's another reason, I have to tell you. How did he learn Pshat in the Brocha? Shanosan Lono Torah Semes B'chai Yoylam Nota B'Sochena. So normally they say Pshat like this. Ashanosan Lono Torah Semes is a Torah Shabbiksav. B'chai Yoylam Nota B'Sochena was a Torah Shabbat. The Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael is from Torah Shavapa. From Torah Shavikzav, we're not going to be Nitzchi, an eternal people. It's not a Torah Chaim through the Torah Shavikzav. The Torah Chaim, that extreme connection with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, is Dafka through the Torah Shavapa. So I do what the Pshat is like this. Right now, we're going to read the Torah Shavikzav. So I say, Ashabocha Bonu Mikolam. After I read for the Torah Shavik Sav, so what do I say? Yeah, it's great that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave you the Torah. But if you really want to get the tachlis of the Torah, the V'chai Oilom Nota B'Sochenu was with what? You have to learn the Torah Shavak also. So that's my own machshava that Asher Boch Abonu has to be before, because it's we're reading the Torah Shabbat. The second bracha has a reference to Torah Shabbat Pevach. That's after we read the Torah Shabbat Ksav. So Rabbi Yosef, how are we getting there? How are we going to have Chaya Yodah? Dafka to the Torah Shabbat Pevach. So the Torah Shabbat Ksav in effect is the Haschol. But the Makkav Patash, the Gemara, is the Torah Shabbat Pevach. So that's appropriate after the Kriya Sator, not before the Kriya Sator. Now, how should one conduct himself in the recitation of the brachas? Before we go to the nitty-gritty, let's make a general observation. The brachas are on a mitzvah which is done b'tzibur. Kriyas HaTorah is considered Dvorim Shebekdusha. It needs a minyan. You can't read Kriyas HaTorah without a minyan. Now, when I make the brachas, let's say I make the brachas in a fashion which is so low that the tzibur doesn't hear. The person makes the brachas. The Rabbanu Shalom and Shemayim is, but that's it. But the tzibur doesn't hit. You can't. Then he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to make the bracha of the tzibur. Chofetz Chaim writes, if he says baruch hu that low, that 10 people don't hear, and the only way you know that he said baruch hu is because the guy next to him in the front row answers, and everyone answers, he can't answer. Baruch hu has to be an invitation. He has to speak to the tzibur. So you say baruch hu. If he speaks to one guy, and that guy says Baruch Hashem Averach, and everyone else knows that he said Baruch Hu, it doesn't help. So that's the first yisoid, is that the brachas are brachas of a tzibur, and consequently the brachas have to be made in an audible fashion that people should be able to hear the brachas. Otherwise, we miss the boat. That's why the lechatchila, once we made brachas, we're supposed to read along. Because pashtas, we made brachas on that which we're going to read along. Now the same is true of the haftarah also. I have to make the brachas in audible fashion, and I have to recite the haftarah b'tzibur, that the tzibur should hear the haftarah. There's a very strange practice in the world, and you can go into all the shtivluch and find it, that the guy says the haftarah low, and everyone else says along with him, and nobody says, he doesn't say makes, and nobody says the haftarah out loud. The Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Vorach, he wrote what's poshut, the poshut mahalach. The poshut mahalach is, he wrote, if they read like the haftarah like that, it's a bracha levatolah. That's the straightforward way that you should look at this parsha. I'm not ready to condemn the world. Why? Because you know that the Chassam Sofer, who lived in Czechoslovakia, Chassam Sofer had a very interesting sheet. The Chassam Sofer lived at a time when the reform movement was starting to take hold in the world. And consequently, he fought very, very strongly against any change. That whatever was done in all the diaries, that's the way the religion has to be observed. Nothing can change. And he wrote in one tshuva, he writes, that if we're going to change things, even little things, they're going to say tomorrow, well, Shabbos will also get changed. So everything has to, now, to that end, the Chassam Sofer undertook to defend all the minhagim of Klal Yisrael, of his part of the world. Yes, tshuvas are some of the strangest things for that reason. Not learning Nittelnacht. So there's a very simple reason why people didn't learn Nittelnacht. You don't need a very profound explanation. Yeah, it was very simple. They had midnight mass and they got drunk. So there was, there was a dangerous night to be out. And therefore people weren't out, and we kept the lights off as much as possible to keep as low a profile as possible and pray that the night passed as quickly as possible, and that's it. That's a very simple reason. why people didn't learn little enough. So you don't need any big terrors. But the Chassam Sofer wrote a whole tshuva justifying not learning little nacht.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Chassam Sofer shita was to defend all the minhagim that existed in those times. That the Chassam Sofer also wrote a tshuva to defend the style in which they recite the brachos and the shtiblach for the after. So once the Chassam Sofer defended it, even though, as I said, Ramosha's approach is even the Chassam Sofer would have agreed that that's the way it should be. But since it wasn't that way, the Chassam Sofer undertook to find a justification for the minhag the way it was. But the yisayid is the brachas are recited for the tzibur. That's the beginning. So we have to make sure that the brachas are audible. Otherwise, what shayach that I'm saying brachas for the tzibur? Now, it's very interesting. How do we recite the brachas? How do we recite the brachas? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Lamed Tesiv Dalet, Kol Koyren HaKoyren Mevorchen Lefaneh L'Achra. As the Gemara's final conclusion was, then whoever gets an aliyah makes a broch at the beginning and at the end, not the initial way, just the koyin and the achra. Uposeach ha-seifa kodim shi-yivorach, v'roya posik shesorach la-haskalbo, they should see the place, as we have to. V'achakach yivorach, and then afterwards he should make the broch. U'la'acha shakorom, when he finishes the kriyas ha-ter, goyil elam yivorach, then close up the seifa ter, and make the bracha. At the end, Asher Nosan Lona, we close the Sefer Torah before we make the bracha Achreina. And then we, now what do we do with the bracha Rishayna?
You're supposed to look away.
So the Ramah says, U'vishoshu mevorech, bracha Rishayna, yapech, ponov alatzatz. Turn his face to the side, shalo yei niroch mevorech min haTorah. We don't want to give the impression that the brachas, brachas ha-ter, are part of the kriyas ha-ter. So therefore, one shouldn't look into the sefer Torah. And the Rambam says, "Venirali the yapach ponov l'tzad smol," to the left side. That's one minute. Others say that that's inappropriate because it looks like he's not making a brach on the Torah; he's looking someplace else. So all the Chofetz Chaim writes, the best thing to do is to close one's eyes when one makes the Bracha Rishayna. So it's clear, you're not reading, your eyes are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but a Bracha Achrayna, you don't have to, you close the Sefer Torah. So then you recite the Bracha.
And what's the Bakor supposed to do? I'm busy trying to keep the place from leaving. And otherwise I got to spend 2 minutes.
Is it clear that you leave the Sefer Torah open?
That's what the Shulchan Aruch indicates, to leave the Sefer Torah open.
The Yekis don't do that.
They're closed.
So if I'm about to lane, I'd like to see where it is. So if he's looking away, I'm still peeking in there.
That's fine. You're not saying the brachas.
Right. I wouldn't want anybody to think that I, you know, all right.
Now, one thing I want to tell you. And that is, there's a minute that we kiss the Sefer Torah at the beginning and at the end. Now, so usually, how do we kiss it? Do we take a talus, the gartel? But where should you put the gartel?
Not on a reading. You'll wear it out.
Yeah, so I saw once many years ago, I think that the Tzeilah Rav quoted the Arugas HaBaisam, that one shouldn't wipe on the letters where one kisses.
Right.
He says, if you see old Sefer Torah, you see they're worn out
yeah.
over there. Because people keep wiping and wiping and wiping, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
So the ink comes off. So it's good practice. You should kiss only on the side. Somewhere's on the side, not on the letters.
What about on the rolled up part?
Okay. You kiss on the rolled up part, whatever you want. Yeah. But not on the...
Ksav.
Not on the ksav, yeah. Oh, So that's important. So beforehand, again, either one looks away or one closes one's eyes and then recites the bracha. But the bracha achrayna, we roll up the Sefer Torah and then we recite the bracha after we roll up the Sefer Torah. Now apparently, what's the reason that we leave it open at the beginning? Apparently the reason that we leave it open at the beginning is because of Tircha Letzibur. Mm-hmm. We'll close the Sefer Torah, then we have to open it again. In between the Aliyahs, we're waiting for another guy to come up, so it's Kavanat Torah to close it, not to leave it open. But before the first Aliyah, before the person starts, he's there already. So what's he closing if we're not going to have to open it again? So apparently the reason is because of Kavanat Tzibur, that we leave it open at that point. Now, Nogu lechasis aksab suda ben gavu de gavu. The Mechaberites, the minig was that they covered over the Sefer Torah in between the Aliyahs. Now that's the most common practice that we have. Now we have a very funny pshat, you'll see in a minute. Because the Ramah adds that the Medinos Elu Nogu Sheyehem Gulelis Ben Gavra the Gavra V'chein Yikar, that we rolled it up. With Osoga B'kisu B'alma. So the Taz writes, V'kosu B'taz N'fi Minig Zeshu Ben Tzorach Kisu. You don't have to cover it. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber that wrote to be Mechasa, is because they didn't roll the Sefer Torah up altogether. They just covered it over. Especially
you
probably, especially in a Sephardi Sefer Torah.
It closes. It doesn't have a cover.
Sure. So they didn't. So in the Beis Yosef thing, it was they just hung something over the Ksav. They didn't even bother to close it. So the Ramah said we close it. So the Taz says if we close it, then we don't have to cover it. V'akisu u'tirchi yisera. V'rak beisham kadosh achar ki yashaba yesh lechasis. Only when they are reciting Kaddish. The Oz Mistalik Manakriya. Wouldn't come up with a Yez Man Oroch, don't you be Zaman Chosin, or Shavarichim be Mishamerich, or Mechasin be Sula. In other words, if it's not Chick Chak, did they make a long Mishamerich, did they sing for the Chosin until they call them up, then you should cover it. So, you know, the world is very into covering, you know. They roll it up and they cover it, which is really unnecessary. If you go to the yeshivas, you'll see the yeshivas, they don't usually cover the Sefer Torah. Especially the yeshivas, they don't make Mishaberach see than most of the yeshivas. Oh, yeah. So, that's it. So, the guy finishes late, and there's a yamweid, and that's it. The guy's right up there. So, there's no din of covering over the Sefer Torah in such a case. No. Now, let me ask you a question. We'll come back to this question. What's the haschola? What's considered the beginning of the Aliyah? At what point? At the point of the recitation of the Baruch of the Birchas HaTorah, which is the beginning. So you'll ask me, listen, Rabbi. What's the difference? Practically, what's the difference? Whatever, listen, every Oyla says Baruch, then he makes the Bracha, so he has an Aliyah. So say what you want, you know. So it makes a very real difference. Let me tell you, Maisa Shahoya. And a wealthy shul in New York, a guy bought Mafta Yaina for $2,000. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that between Musaf and Mincha there's a break. He might have had a long break, so he went home and he went to sleep. He got up late, then he came racing back to shul, and he walked into shul, so he wasn't there. So what are they do? He wasn't there. What are they going to do? So they had to call somebody else. What? I don't know. This the other guy doesn't want to, you know. So the first guy said Baruch Hu, and as he said Baruch Hu, rather the second guy said Baruch Hu. As he said Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the first guy walked in.
Okay.
So now what do you do?
Can you take over?
Well, is it, what's the din?
He just said baruch.
So, I asked you, what's the start of the aliyah? What's the start of the aliyah?
When you start laying.
So, if he made the bracha, you can't throw him off anymore.
That's true.
So good. So, what's the start of the aliyah? Vaisa shahaya, kachaya.
No, Asher Baruch is not the beginning of the aliyah.
Well, maybe Baruch was the beginning of the aliyah. How do you know?
Because Baruch and Baruch, Hashem Baruch Hu, but it's not its own.
No, it's part of the Kriya Satar. What do you say it for? It's a good Shaila. We'll come back to the Shaila. Boy, I feel bad for the roof.
Yeah. I can still say the Haftarah. The other guy?
No, for the $2,000 he wants the Haftarah too, believe me. So you have to know. So you have to know what's Nas Chalov of the Aliyah. So it's no longer an abstract question. It's a very real question. Okay, we'll come back to it. I'll go to Achra, what you say.
All the Sgulas, people say, from Achriones, Sgulas Lashirus. The point is, if you buy it, you have already the Sgulas, you don't need to make the Brocha to make the Aliyah. The Sgulas you have
to make the Aliyah. The Bisha Yeshla Mona Rebsa Messiah.
Is it not already the date when we get the Master?
Yeah.